some patterns are starting to emerge, and we're just from the requests we're receiving for basic antibiotics. There's been some outbreaks of just dysentery, basic things that would happen in Africa or any place because of the quality of water that's been compromised. So that can go from oral rehydration solution to antibiotics, and then just the basic straight down the middle primary care items of antibiotics, anti-infectives, some pain relief, non-prescription pain relief medications like Tylenol, and first aid supplies. So that's just trying to supply those clinics. That's what they've been asking for. We've had a couple of requests for diabetes medication as people had to flee the coast without their insulin or their the needles and syringes needed. So we sent 100,000 syringes down to Louisiana yesterday just to one clinic that's in need. And that we've heard concerns about tetanus just because they people are walking around in dirty water, may have gotten cut up, and that's something that several folks have asked for. But I think the public health assessments are being done by the public health officials, and as they get a clearer picture and ask us, then we'll try to resupply in a targeted way what they need.
You had mentioned dysentery, and I had just read today that there was an apparent outbreak of dysentery in the Mississippi town of Biloxi.
Right.
And what, again, would that be for supplies needed?
Well, I think two things. If it's bacterial, you know, it can be treated with antibiotics if there's a bacterial infection. And just to care for to rehydrate people, particularly children, the oral rehydration solution that's quite common in developing countries where you know, kids die from diarrhea often and tragically. So I think there's certainly the resources that available in the United States to respond to this disaster without question. The trick is to get them into the right place at the right time in the right hands, and that's what we're working up that logistics chain to make sure that what we send is the right material and it's going to the right place without overwhelming these distribution centers that are trying to handle food, water, fuel, and everything else at the moment.
As a private NGO, how dependent are you on the cooperation of the U.S. government? In particular, in recent days, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, has been criticized for not getting help to the internally displaced soon enough. Has that affected you in any way?
Well, you know, I think it's affected everyone who's trying to respond. We have been in touch with the FEMA folks who are trying to establish the shelter services and some of the basic supply lines. It appears some of the state and local authorities are a couple of steps ahead of just responding through their existing structure of free clinics and community clinics that typically serve poor people who are uninsured people often. So we're working with them, and they have a very good game plan to ramp up their operations. But I think clearly FEMA and everyone at the trying to deal with the large-scale movement of people and material is under extreme challenges. So we're trying to work with the right people in each one of the states where there's a FEMA coordinator. We've let them know that we have, you know, tens of millions of dollars in very good medical inventory that is available for the relief. We just have to know what is required, where it needs to go, and we will take care of all the logistics. But sometimes, so far, they've had a hard time just being able to convey that basic information as they're trying to get a handle on where people are ultimately going to land.
As a former member of the Peace Corps, you've been involved before in emergency management and relief in Thailand and even in Africa. How do those situations compare with what you're watching today and what you're involved with today?
Many of the basics are the same, that I think it always makes the most sense to tap into people who have the best sense of the community or that the particular area where people happen to be. So you always look for the leaders who were there already. And so that's our natural instinct as an organization is to plug in with the existing network of clinics who, on a good day, care for people who don't have money and need medical attention. They're receiving a lot of patients, so the same basic decision-making that you go through in a developing country emergency or the United States is who's the best person with access to the best information that we can tap into that network and play a productive, efficient role. I think also personally what one benefit we have here is when the The U.S. military capacity, they're so good at logistics planning, and I think once they swing into gear and get their supply lines established and depots established and that type of thing, I think you'll see a much more efficient operation.